So on the one hand, Krishna is a being who lived in historical time. And in that sense, Krishna is not really very important. It's what he says about himself that's important. And what he says about himself, he says in the Bhagavad Gita, he says that, among other things, he says, I created this entire universe with a single portion of myself and yet remained separate. I created this entire universe with a single portion of myself and yet remained separate. So the entire universe, which those of us who are savvy in astronomy and physics know, is supposedly infinite, is the portion of Krishna's self that was that he created. So the entire universe, everything in it, everything about it, all the visible aspects of it, which are the ones with which most of us would be familiar, the many invisible aspects of it, with which some of us might be slightly familiar, all the so-called gods, all the so-called goddesses, all the so-called saviors, all the so-called enlightened beings of mankind, all the demons, all of it is an expression of one aspect of Krishna. So he created this whole thing with a single portion of himself and yet remained separate. So in one sense, Krishna is everywhere. He's not missing from any point in space, because everything's an expression of nothing but him. He says, under whatever name men worship me, I respond to them. So it's very important not to get hung up on the name Krishna. It would be more important, if you want to get hung up, to get hung up on the word light. Light. Absolute light. Light beyond anything we can conceive of as light, which is eternal, which is compassionate, which is wise, and which is knowing. And this is the ultimate nature of reality. Being, consciousness, bliss. Three ways of talking about what we can't talk about. Being, consciousness, bliss. Now, since everything is a manifestation of an aspect of Krishna, the entire universe, you can't go anywhere and get away from Krishna. He's everywhere. The part of him that manifested as the universe is everywhere. In everything. Within everybody. What Krishna represents also is the part of him that didn't emanate the universe. I created this whole universe with a single portion of myself, yet remained separate. The part that remains separate is utterly unknowable. Although one can become one with it. It's taught in the Bhagavad Gita. But Krishna is not a person. He's worshipped as a person for centuries. Worshipping him as a person can be helpful to a person, but it won't get them to Krishna. He says in the Bhagavad Gita that all paths lead to him. Doesn't matter what path you're on, doesn't matter what religion you're in, all paths lead to him. Not all directly. If you're enjoying the benefit of some practice you're doing, it's because of Krishna, not the person. You can call it the beneficence of the universe. The basic message of the Bhagavad Gita is that were it not for our ignorance, we'd all be living in a state of joy, which is the nature of Krishna, the nature of light. We'd all be like we were in the first couple years of our lives, barring hideous childhoods. Giving normal childhoods, we'd all be like that. Krishna says that he resides in the heart of every being, but the beings in whose heart he resides don't know he's there. And why don't they know he's there? Because they're looking somewhere else. And where are they looking? They're looking in the direction of the world and what it has to offer. In their desires and their aversions, in their likes and their dislikes, all have to do with the world and or with what they call themselves. And most of us, by us I just mean humans, who are not yet one with Krishna consciously, which probably includes all of us in this room. The problem isn't that Krishna isn't available and isn't in the heart of every being. even the being you would like to write off as even being human, that being too has Krishna in his or her heart. And we don't know this because the we're going to have to make an assumption here, which Krishna does make in the Bhagavad Gita, that he says there is no existence for that which does not exist, and there is no non-existence for that which does exist. So it does exist, has always existed, and will always exist. And what doesn't exist will never exist. So what exists is eternal. And that's in us. But we don't know that because we don't identify, or really in a culture like this one, even get much of a clue that there might be something in us that is in fact our true being, that is in fact eternal, beginningless, endless. And we don't know this, one, because we don't hear about it. Two, if we do hear about it, it seems bizarre, because it doesn't fit with our experience of introspection. Those of us who had the courage to do any introspection, when we go inside, we don't find Krishna. usually. We find a bunch of likes and dislikes and hopes and dreams and memories and fears and anxieties and fantasies and all, you know, just you name it. That's what's in there. And all of that stuff that we find when we go inside, if we have the courage to go inside, which most people don't, which is why they keep so busy on the outside.